when we were discussing last year at Radio Centre, how do we mark the 40 years of commercial radio? You know, do we do some sort of big event? Do we do a big gig? Do we do different station-by-station activity? In the end, the idea that we had was to have a roll of honour, a sort of hall of fame, if you like. Who were the 40 individuals who we felt could best tell the story of commercial radio from its inception in 1973 right through to 2013?
Thanks, Matt. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to dream of being on the radio and managed to, like Foxy, get on a very small commercial radio station. In fact, when I started 30 years ago in the business, I think there was 11 or 12 ILR stations. And look what we've got now. Over 300, where you can get in one day everything from bark to bug, as in Jake Buck. I mean, that's amazing choice in an industry that started so sort of modestly, really. I mean, it was up against the Leviathan that is the BBC, and they do a great job, but commercial radio over the 40 years has done an unbelievable job. And we have speech commercial radio, we have music commercial radio, and I think with the greatest of respect to our colleagues in the speech side of commercial radio, it's the music aspect that has really pushed our industry forward. And the way that we have created music after record companies were very sceptical about whether we could break records and artists for them, we proved beyond absolute doubt that we can. And we get involved with live music now like never before. You were lucky to get a session back in the old days. I mean, everyone went to Broadcasting House. Now we have huge gigs like the Jingle Bell Ball, Hard Rock Calling, that are all recorded and broadcast not only to our listeners but are sent all over the world because of the internet. Our radio stations are heard everywhere. We have groups of people now who are so passionate about music within radio groups that we have niche radio stations. The group that I work for, Absolute, have, what, seven? 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties, classic rock. List goes on and on. So when you look at what we've achieved in 40 years, I think we should give ourselves a very big pat on the back, actually. And I think that we should say thank you to our friends in the House of Lords and the House of Commons and the people who've steered our industry. Thank you very much for looking after us, because I hope we haven't let you down. In fact, I'm damn certain that we haven't let you down.
In 83, I'd left university. I was trying to get into radio. In 1993, when radio was celebrating 20 years, I'd just started the Pepsi chart, which did all right for 10 more years and beyond. And then here we are 20 years later, celebrating 40 years in 2013. And technology changes, it all changes, ownership changes, but people still are loving what we're doing. The content, the entertainment, the music, it's what we do fantastically well and have been doing it since the early days. I mean, I started my life at a little station called Radio Wyvern. I went on to actually what must have been the first ever commercial radio in the UK, which was Radio Luxembourg, all those years ago. Then went on to Capital, now a Magic, and having a very lovely time. Things have changed, but we're still all having fun in commercial radio. We obviously need to highlight some of the amazing work that's been done over the last 40 years and to say how relevant commercial radio is with a growing audience of 35 million people who love what we do week after week, whether it's the music, the information, the entertainment. We are here and bigger and better than ever.
Firstly, thank you for that reminder of the role of honour and some of the amazing people who helped shape our industry over the last 40 years. Of course, it's absolutely right to mark the 40th anniversary of commercial radio in this way, and it's great to see so many people here today who are on that list and who are part of the story of commercial radio. But 40 is also a time where you reflect on where you are now and where you're going, as well as where you've come from, which is something we've been thinking about a lot this year at Radio Centre. Clearly, there's been some big changes to commercial radio since it was launched in 1973. In light of these changes, we felt it was important to understand the value the audience places on commercial radio output in 2013. So we commissioned Kantar Media to undertake the biggest ever survey of its kind to give us an honest assessment of what audiences expect from commercial stations, whether we're meeting those expectations, and the value that they put on commercial radio output. We already know that audience figures remain incredibly strong. As we just mentioned, we still reach an incredible 35 million people each week. And we know that radio can provide a fantastic return on investment for advertisers, delivering £7.70 for every pound spent, according to the recent research by the Radio Advertising Bureau. But what about our listeners? Have we changed so much over the 40 years that in their eyes our value has been diminished or lost in some way? Well, the good news from the preliminary results we can share with you today in the leaflet that I think is on the table over there and copy here, is that we continue to provide some real value to communities up and down the country, that we're exceeding audience expectations across the board, whether it's on music, entertainment, news or information. And incredibly, when we asked listeners to put a financial value on this, they also said that content was worth over £42 a year to them on average. Now, that might not sound like very much, but grossed up over the whole commercial radio audience, that means listeners value our content at around £1.5 billion a year, all without any public funding or subsidy from the taxpayer, of course. And we'll be releasing more findings from that research later in the year, but overall, the results are hugely encouraging and show that even though things have changed and will continue to change, the appreciation and value of commercial radio remains incredibly strong. But we also face some big challenges on technology, on platforms and on regulation, which could threaten our ability to deliver some of this value. We especially need clarity on platforms, which is why we think it's important that government makes a clear in-principle decision on digital radio later this year. We also need a debate about the right sort of regulation for a digital age, so ensure that we're able to prioritise a valuable local output, not just local buildings. If we can make progress in these areas, we know that we can keep on adding real value, public value, to audiences in years to come.